Girls don't need men. Barbie don't need Ken. Us girls are doing fine on our own, so if you're a man, leave us alone.
There's nothing objectionable there.
Getting girls rich, yes, that's a part of my plan. And I could name 10 things us girls need before we ever need a man.
Is this a Charlie XCX song?
One new vape, 2 lines of Coke, free drinks from the bar, 4 more lines of Coke, 5 Guys fries, 6 hits of my blunt, 7 more lines of Coke, 8 pairs of shoes, 9 BB belts, and 10 drunk cigarettes. These are lyrics artificially generated by AI group Girly Girl Productions. going on TikTok right
now. That went from being actually kind of cool to being lame immediately.
It's so funny, though.
If you told me that was a legit song, I would 100%.
It's like, oh, that's, but it's great.
It's great. Hey.
7 more lines of Coke. So much Coke.
Hey, you know what's going on TikTok. Can you tell me what the whole demure thing is about?
Oh, man, that's already old news.
Oh, really?
Well, it made it to the late night show, so it's already like, oh, okay, we're done.
God damn, I'm never with it. I always, like, I think I'm with it, but then it's already, what it is changes.
You're, yeah. There's 2 new things right now. One is what I just said, and the other is, similar to an old trend where you would say something kind of mundane or negative to loud music, you would instead, what you're instead treated to is just a splash of Lisa Frank Dolphins with the song Symphony featuring Zara Larsson, and then people would caption it with random shit.
I don't know what the song is.
I mean, this song is just basically, hold on, let me get my phone.
I don't know. I think if we should open every episode with you telling me about TikTok.
I will. Oh, Christ. So I was introduced to this symphony meme in the funniest way possible by only getting this image. And you can kind of hear it. So you can see it, and it just says, what the fuck is happening?
Oh, so it's a bunch of sea life.
But I didn't. I was like, what is this? Yeah. But I didn't notice it was by the artist Zara Larsson. And then I was like, why does this have 1 million views? And then everyone is just like, oh my God, I can't believe it's actually her. And I was like, what? So I go to the audio and then I see this other thing. God, okay, you can't. But it's just like, yeah, these transitions. And then if you read the caption out loud.
Can you imagine trying to figure out why your song from 7 years ago is trending again and you just see a bunch of dolphin pictures with captions, I have a drinking problem or some shit. Skull emoji. Also, the shit has a 1 for an eye.
Yeah, well, they gotta censor it. So I was like, what is this? And then I kind of got introduced to it backwards, and then it was really funny.
That's actually pretty good.
I was like, oh, yeah.
So, like, reverse deducing the origins of the whatever.
My mom uses the same kitchen shears I used to cut my pubic hairs. It's like, oh, my God.
Man, I think TikTok might be good. Sometimes it's bad.
Is.
Sometimes it's bad, but oftentimes I think it's good.
We make our way back to Podunk with our dog, finally, who's a normal dog and definitely not a toaster. What the fuck? In Secret of Evermore.
Buds, a storm of buds, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Welcome. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode, the final episode of ASMR August.
The end game.
It's the final whisper. I'm going to count you down to sleep. Except, I won't do that. Good bit. Today, we're going to finish up our recount, recap, and review of Super Nintendo Classic Secret of Evermore. It's the 4th part of this game, and we've been talking about it all month. If you haven't checked out our other episodes in which we talk about it, talk about it.
The butler did it? Are you fucking kidding me?
Of course. Womp womp. Welcome to Storm Buds. I'm your host of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-host of light, Alexander Hambrock. Somebody didn't introduce the show at the start, so they have to do it in post. Isn't that fun? Womp womp. We are, yes, the butler did in fact do it, and we have to stop him in space. How did the ending, well, once we're actually, no, sorry. Once we're done talking about Secret of Evermore, we are also going to draft our games for September. Draft or sort of organize and plan around our months of September. And we got 5 weeks of September episodes, and I'm looking forward to this theme.
I was going
to
say, I don't know. I feel like we've tried a process, and both times previously, we have not really adhered to that process and just picked games that we liked. So,
oh, yeah. There's no, I mean, yeah, we just map it out. We're just going to map it out. But you're going to be alongside us. There should be a poll as well. Why don't we make a poll out of one of them?
For
why
one not? Of these, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's fun, even if it's an Nancy Drew poll again. So, how did you find the end of Secret of Evermore?
Fun, good conclusion. Definitely see sort of like, you know, the budget limitations you were talking about.
Yep.
Also, they really just start like dumping powerful spells on you at the end here.
And armor and everything. So, where we last left off, you had just gotten the flying thing. Tinker has just given us the laundry list of items to go and collect from across the world. So we got to revisit some old places, Prehistoria, Antiqua, and, well, Gothica, even though we're there. I don't know. We had to get the energy core from.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there was a couple of MacGuffins. Let's jump to. I like to go to Nobilia and Antiqua first, because first I like to head into town and talk to Horace and get the barrier spell before it's too late.
I didn't use barrier. What does it do?
Barrier prevents physical, but just prevents damage and heals you a little bit.
The next instance or next instances of for its duration?
The next, all of it.
Okay, because sorry,
duration.
I think I didn't use it because I thought it absorbed one instance and I was like, what good is that for?
I think Reflect does that for magic. Which is like still good.
But then I got the Energize at the end and I was like, oh, Energize powers up your next attack. And it's like, no, Energize powers up all of your attacks.
Yes. For- It's like these spells are not. Yeah, no, these are great.
We're going to talk about Energize.
Energize is dope and I wish we had more time with it. But I also don't. But yeah, yes. And then actually, if we have time, we probably, because let's be honest, there's not much left of this game.
No, it's pretty quick.
We go to the pyramid. In the bottom cave, and we do an annoying teleport maze again.
No rhyme or reason to this, right? You just hit the teleporters over and over till you get up there?
I think so. I can't remember. So you do that, and you hit a bunch of the Oglins, and then Tiny was like, sorry, the Oglins are nice to me, and they made me take these things. Please don't kill me. And we don't. And we get the Diamond Eyes back, head back into the volcano again to finally open that gourd that was on like the right side of the air vents maze.
Turns out that there has been a gauge in there the whole time.
And then we go fight Blue Thrax, which was fun, but it was just a reminder of like, man, Thrax, look at the pixel art on Thrax versus the pixel art on like the two dragons in Gothic.
Yeah, no, I know. Thrax rules. I mean, like, it was very satisfying to just go back through that, like, the bug muck swamp, and just like kill everything with one attack and take zero damage from everything.
Fucking bonehead monsters just throwing lances at everything. Very fun. Were you able to go back and get the acid rain formula?
Oh, shit.
Not that it's not really useful anymore, but
I didn't think to, but also, no, I didn't.
Well, if you play this game again, you'll know where it is.
I'll write that down for 2036.
Yeah. So we head back into town. Also, I mean, you can talk to Strongheart here and get another formula, as well. They just start dumping.
Oh yeah, miracle cure.
I think miracle cure. Yeah,
yeah, didn't.
Which you don't really need to use. But we head into space now, and this is our fourth and final zone, Omnitopia. It's basically we rock it up with a really fun countdown that you can kind of skip for 31 by pressing the A button over and over again. And we make it into the space station, and we are cleaned up and taken into the junkyard, where we exit the space station and find our dog to be a walking toaster.
It's so good. One, he looks like K-9 from Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Basically. And two, he just fires these incredibly powerful laser shots constantly.
Yeah, he gets laser eyes, and it's the strongest attack in the game, and it's busted, and it's great. They're just like, well, we don't have time to balance this, so let's just make it easy at the end, which I think was a good choice.
Agreed.
Making it up into the station, you fight more of those little discuses from like Act 2. Like, you're kind of seeing hints of like the machinery that appeared all over Evermore. There's the volcano machinery. There's copies of Thrax. There's copies of the Aegis head in the junkyard.
It's really cool. It's like it makes this zone maybe my favorite in the game. Or like,
wow.
I just really enjoyed like... It's cool seeing all that stuff, like running past a bunch of those mm-hmm. like volcano machines and being like, oh, they come from up here. Oh, like he was engineering Thrax in this lab. Like, oh, yeah, all this stuff has been like designed and deployed to the world below.
And it doesn't get too deep into like the motivations of why this world exists. It's like this guy's just making it to make it or something. And there's not really any rhyme or reason. And I guess we don't really care. Our mission is to get the hell out of here. This sequence is a little annoying, where you have to take control of your dog because your dog can breathe out in space.
Oh, so
you can
in all the little tubes.
Yeah, because those little things, those little orbs that block the gates, fire a bunch of lasers, and then it's just you get knocked around all over again. And then I found that for some reason in this zone, I was missing a lot more than I was previously. Did you notice?
I didn't think I noticed that. The orbs you had to shoot with the dog didn't bother me that much. The fucking blue spinny things were fucking...
Well, those to me were pretty easy because I was just using barrier.
Oh.
Which stopped all the damage.
Okay, that would help. I didn't think...
Well, you didn't get it, apparently. Or no, you did get it.
I just didn't bother trying.
Yeah, no, that spell's busted. Walking around, did you see the... there's a couple of questions I just want to ask you, because there's some fun things to talk about here. Did you see the purple plants?
The ones to turn the lights off where they kill you?
Yes, they
kill
you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I figured that out after I tried to get through there with the lights on, and they just ate me.
They ate you, and you cannot get out, and you die, and it's game over.
And you can't hurt them either, it seems like.
Nope.
I spent a good chunk of time trying to attack them.
No, there's too many in there to hurt anyway. Oh my god, the object limit. that would be a nightmare. So that's a fun question. Did you do the optional boss?
I don't think so. What's the optional boss?
So there's one section where you have to do where one of the cleaning robots is saying like a three-color code.
Oh,
similar to like Sestasha or something, where it's like green, blue, blue.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember that code to put it in to disable one of the alarms in the other room, which I never do because I like killing the robots in there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a secret other combination that's randomly generated every time. Alongside that code. That code is also randomly generated. And you have to try every combination of those three. So there's 27 combinations because there's 9 × 3 switches, and one of them will open up the door in the middle, or like the wall in the middle, and there will be a secret boss. It's just for fun, and then you get some bazooka ammo and some experience and some good experience in there. But it's what's funny about this is that there's a 1 in 27 chance that the code to disable the alarm will be randomly generated to be the same as the code to get into the secret boss. So this has yet to. Maybe it did happen to me one time when I was very little, because I was really confused about it. Because I remember maybe like the second or third playthrough, I remember like touching all the switch combinations and being like, why isn't this working? So that might have happened to me once as a child. So that's kind of a fun trivia tidbit. There's just at this point, they're just every room you clear, you get a sweet upgrade,
I fucked up. I bought all the armor.
me too. But money's infinite. I always buy it just to have it because it looks cool. And then I have the full like ring of armors. I never sell any of the other armor because money's infinite. So I'm like, well, whatever. Just I like to buy them to have everything. And we meet. Eventually, we run into Dr. Ruffelberg. How would you characterize Dr. Ruffelberg?
Ineffectual?
Yeah, I don't know. He's definitely absent-minded. We don't get a whole lot of time with Dr. Ruffelberg, really. All we see that is... Yeah, it's kind of a frantic, absent-minded professor, but there's not much else that we get of him outside of a brief introduction here, and then there's the kind of funny ending sequence. After the final boss fight.
He doesn't seem to grasp why his robot butler would grow dissatisfied with life of servitude.
Yeah, definitely. Which makes sense. Makes sense that he doesn't understand why the Carltron would be like, this sucks, and I'm going to take over your robot world now. He just didn't notice. He didn't notice that we were there. So this is when we first, right, arrived in. Ruffelberg's like, ah, whatever. And then Carltron's like, I'll take care of this, and just shoves us in the trash. So yeah, that's basically it. We have to get the spaceship. We go look for the energy core. We bring it back. We get the Energize formula from him. We also get Kalbeed formula. And we can talk about some of those Kalbeed spells as well later.
I used a single Kalbeed. I kept forgetting I had them.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. The Kalbeed spells are strong. Sometimes I was just like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to throw a Kalbeed at something because I know it'll do like 600 to 800 damage and nothing's that leveled up.
I have like 20 Kalbeeds that I just never used.
Yeah, they're not necessary. Get the call up formula where you can make more Kalbeeds if you find meteorites. You can't level that one up, really. I think it gets experience, but you never find enough meteorites to be able to level it up, and nobody sells them. But that's a cool idea that they had. If only they had more time to flesh it out and be like, all right, now you can just use Kalbeeds whenever. That's cool. Once we make it to the energy core, we just have to teleport back in through the junkyard, and thus the final boss battle begins. And thank God they took time to make this boss battle fucking cool.
It's very cool.
This boss battle slaps. And you've got the Energize formula, so you get to use whatever fully leveled up weapon you have. I always like to spend some time grinding up the sword, because the sword is like... technically, they're all the same strength, but you do have the silver sheath. So the sword is the strongest, finally, which is nice.
I can't imagine... here's the thing. I can't imagine this fight without Energize.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my God. Like, those fucking spiders that have, like, what, like 4,000 HP each or something like that?
Yeah, seriously.
If you had to charge up your attacks by hand...
It would take forever. It was a good choice. And the TV screens, too. If you had to charge up your spear attacks by hand... to actually break those, unless you just use the infinite bazooka ammo, which wasn't as good as the spear, because the bazooka knocks you back when you use it, so it's really annoying to use. So I never used the bazooka.
I never understood how the bazooka worked. So I would pick the bazooka from my inventory and pick a type of ammo.
Right.
Then I would point it at an enemy, say a fan on the top wall during the first phase of the fight, right?
Yeah.
And I would fire the bazooka, and it would do like one damage. And then I would press the button again, and it wouldn't fire again. And I was like, do I need to go back into my inventory and reload?
No, you just need to charge up your energy.
But that didn't seem to...
I don't know. Did you pick the thunder? You should probably pick the other two that are stronger. And also glitched out so that they're infinite ammo.
I don't know. I didn't experiment with it enough. I found the bazooka very confusing.
It's a pretty underwhelming weapon. So I would say just use the spear, fully charged spear, if you can. Yep. It locks you in place. So the first... and all throughout this, there's finally like a really, really high energy boss battle, kind of Secret of Mana style boss battle. And if we are going to compare this game to Secret of Mana, which I am always doing, even though they're not necessarily, I mean, it's hard not to. The final boss battle of Secret of Mana sucks ass.
No, this is a good battle. This is a good
fight.
Dude,
remember in Secret of Mana, you had to like put the two dryad halves of the spell on the sword of mana and then wait for the fucking dragon
to... Oh, my
God. It sucked. Remember? It sucked ass.
That was so annoying.
It was so annoying. This is just like a bunch of enemy sponge monsters coming out at you from all directions. Several different phases. There's the raptor phases, the spider phase, the fan phase, the magmar phase, the clone phase where you fight the dog clone and your own clone.
I mean,
as well.
If I have a complaint, it's that I wish the game was doing a bit more of this a bit earlier on. Like,
we know why it didn't.
Yeah, but like you get all these cool spells at the end, and it's like I wanted it to push me more. You know, make me use more of the kit.
Exactly. I totally agree, but alas, it was just not meant to be. I'm still grateful that this classic even came out to begin with. I'm glad we're making pretty good time on this discussion here, because all we got to talk about left is the ending sequence. We foil the giant like machine gun version of Carltron that bounces around.
Super fucking annoying.
Carltron comes out and Professor Ruffelberg just presses the off switch. The threat is dealt with. damn, you would have thought he would have taken care of that, but I guess not. Didn't have the sentience to do it. Yes, of course, the butler did it. All the hints of the cleanliness and stuff throughout the game.
Oh!
Yes, your cleanliness.
Okay,
the clues were there.
That makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the ending sequence. Suddenly Evermore starts to explode.
Our presence here appears to be causing dimensional instability.
Imbalance now that Carltron's gone. I guess Carltron was made to sort of curate this realm. And without his presence, the balance is off struck. And then Ruffelberg spends about 20 minutes calculating our chances, at which point he comes to the conclusion of 0%.
It's so funny. Cool. He's like, I'll multiply by the eigenvector. And I'm like, okay, I don't think there are any eigenvectors involved in this calculation.
We head down, we rescue Fire Eyes from the explosions. The villagers there are really sad to see her go. She's really sad to go. It's a touching moment. But Strongheart will lead the nation of Prehistoria.
Yeah, because they'll all be here after we leave, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, the realm will be fine. Like, they made the realm. It's not a fake realm. We head to Antiqua. Madronius and Horus say goodbye to each other as gay lovers, I guess. I don't know. That's my canon. But they are very... He's more stoic about it. He's like, yes, I understand. You must go. Okay, thank you. Take me away. Then we get to Camellia. And once we get to Camellia and the world's exploding, we tell her what's happening. And the king's like, you can't take Camellia away, my love, please. And she's like, bye.
She's ready to get out. She's like, I'm going with the kid.
This shit. I don't fuck this. These people fucking betrayed me. I am out of here. You can have it. See ya. Camellia is the best. We now have everyone, and we make our way back to Evermore, and we enter through the zappy teleporter that we came through, and make it to, not back to Evermore, back to Podunk, and we are zapped down on the street of Podunk. Our dog is just a little terrier now, no longer a giant poodle or wolf or toaster, and we head to the left, and what do we see playing at the movies?
It turns out this game has the same ending as the classic John Carpenter 1994 film In the Mouth of Madness. You get to the end, it turns out what happened to you has been made into a movie.
It's either been made into a movie or it was a product, to quote the main character, a product of my overly active imagination.
I mean, yeah, it's fair. It's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous, which was pretty wild to me at the time as a child. Kind of my first ambiguous ending of a video game. Nothing quite like that in Final Fantasy or Chrono Trigger or anything.
Yeah.
Like that, which I like, and definitely not in Secret of Mana either. It's just sort of like, oh, you saved everything. But there is sort of a hint that, oh, wait, But the other people in Evermore were also there, so maybe it was real, right? They zap back up at the top of the mansion where the experiment took place. So it almost sort of hints at a sequel, also with the post credit scene, because like I think what was it, the evil Horus or something, or Carltron
sure.
was like back online or something, which obviously we never got, sadly, and never will get, because just the dev team is scattered to the winds, and like who owns this license? Squaresoft isn't around.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
What do we think the 1994 movie Secret of Evermore is like? Is it like
know.
Labyrinth? Like are there puppets?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could hardly tell that giant snake is made out of a bunch of tires and a garden hose.
That's true. Okay, so I guess they do kind of answer it for us.
Yeah, you know, it's a B-movie. It's making all sorts of B-movie references. This is a highly cinematic game, which is weird that it's my favorite game, because I don't really like movies.
No, I was going to say also, so...
But it's, like, the idea of the movies, and it's also the idea of, like, shitty movies that I
yeah.
like more.
Well, so I was going to say, so talk more about, like, your history with this game, why it means so much to you, like, the experience of playing it as a kid.
Yeah, it was a... Definitely a game that I guess I'll go back as far as I remember. I remember us renting it and then not keeping it because, of course, video game rentals were more of a thing back then. We don't need to talk about that much. It wasn't my most rented game. That was Super Mario RPG. I kept renting that game until they finally bought it. And they're like, God, I'm spending so much on this rental. I may as well just buy this stupid thing. But I saw it again at one of my dad's cousin's houses. Because my dad's cousins were like, she also had a Super Nintendo. And she was like the only other person I knew or that I could like talk to about it that had one. Like, it just wasn't cool to have and talk about these things, at least for me, in distant suburban Minnesota. I guess it was more rural in the 90s where I was, and then it got sprawled in by the time I was like 10 to 15. But it wasn't something I could talk to about anyone
with anyone else. So I really connect. I felt like I could finally connect with like a family member over this game. And this game was also really special because like growing up, I did have dogs, which and I did love those dogs. Weirdly, Wilbur was our first dog, and he was a shit that bit me a lot. Mm-hmm. But it was still like I could identify with this kid and his dog going on an adventure in his own like imagination land or whatever, because that's what I did with our yard. I was like, this is this section of the yard, and this is whatever, we go into the woods and with my dog, and we're out walking. I don't know. It's just sort of I had felt seen by this game in a way that was interesting and refreshing. Plus, again, every other game on the Super Nintendo was Japanese. Nothing else was American. So seeing something American like this was really cool and unique. And I hadn't had Earthbound at the time, but I don't know if I would have vibed with Earthbound. Earthbound is like difficult weird. In a bad way sometimes. Like,
yeah,
and this game's not that hard. So yeah, that I think that special sort of connection sums it up. I thought it was just a funny game. I still think it's a funny game, and I like funny things more in it, so I wanted to I just wanted to experience more things like that. I think that was kind of a driving force behind just what I like in a lot of things. The movie connection, I am notoriously not a movie lover at this point. I think the part of it is because I just don't take the art form that seriously. And sure. I don't think this game does either. So I
no, it
kind
really
of
doesn't.
I kind of see its perspective that way, or at least it like has an appreciation for the campier side of movies, which I also do. I don't mind a campy movie at all. That's a lot of fun, but otherwise I think, yeah, otherwise no. So yeah, that's I don't know what else I could say about it. I really liked the alchemy system. I thought it was real. I wanted it to be real, and then it wasn't. I was like, oh, I guess I don't want to be a chemist.
I guess mixing ash with water doesn't make a healing spell.
I can't
after.
Revive my dog by with a bone.
Ooh,
and
dark.
Some limestone. Oh no, Wilbur, you got hit by a car for nothing. Oh well, that sucks. Okay, well yeah, that's I guess that's the best I can answer that question for you.
No, that's a really good answer.
But I'm grateful and glad that I was able to share this game with you, and hopefully with a couple of you guys out there as well. Let me know if you have played or have decided to give this game a shot. You can reach us, of course, in our Discord or our email. We've gotten a couple of really nice emails. That's always nice. Our email is stormbudspodcast@gmail.com. It's also in the link pop, but I'll say it out loud because it's been a while since I said it out loud. So thank you for kind of... joining me on this journey while I forced a theme month around it, this game. But I think some of the other games we played this month were pretty fun, or fun to talk about.
On that note, I have a request.
Yeah.
Okay, so while I was playing this game also, because I get why you'd be super into this game as a kid, right?
Yeah.
Especially with like all like the alchemy stuff and the different worlds and everything. I was trying to think about what the equivalent from my childhood might be on like a few different levels. And I thought about it, and I have a request.
Okay. November, our running doc, I still don't know what the fuck we're going to do in November.
Next few months. I'm still between like now and like February. I would like for us to slot in a month to play through the Sega Genesis tactical RPG Shining Force.
Oh, okay. Have I played this game? I did not have a Genesis, but this game has been like, oops, I said Shining Forge. This game has just been released and re-released like crazy, right? I'm super down. I do like going back and playing Genesis games that I haven't played through. I played through Phantasy Star 4 on my stream once. That was really fun. Definitely a slog at kind of the end, like most JRPGs do. But that was fun. Yeah, this looks super super dope. I'm totally down. Let's figure out a month for that.
We'll put it on the board.
We'll put it on the board, and we can get that done. For now. Oh, fuck, it's my month. For now...
Yeah, it is.
For now, I am going to go check up on... For now, I'm going to go get my gallbladder enhanced surgically.
enhanced to perform better.
It's not doing enough for me, and I need it to be faster, stronger, and better, and more green.
You just every time. What does a gallbladder do? Processes water? No, it's a regular bladder.
Uh huh.
And a kidney.
Uh huh.
I don't know what a gallbladder does.
Well, maybe whatever you need to get your gallbladder enhanced too.
It's like whenever its function engages, you just like hear like a $6 million man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get that done, and then we'll be right back after this short ad break.
We're going to read some ads.
You know, Alex, with all that's going on in the world today.
Yes.
Death, drama. Violences, sickness, illness, strife, political discourse, protests. It's really stressful, and it's hard to keep track of your finances.
I suppose that's true.
It's all these distractions are making you forget that you're spending money that you don't even know you're spending. It's just going into the ether.
I mean, I spend an increasingly large amount of my day disassociating, so yes.
Yeah, how many subscription fees have you completely forgotten about? Because there's just too much going on in the world, and you've just been wasting money. Those gym memberships that are impossible to cancel, things like that. You know, Crunchyroll.
A subscription to that French video streaming service?
Yeah. Your Ouya online membership?
Turns out I don't actually like most of the French New Wave. It's really sexist.
Tovo.io?
Yeah, Tovo.io. Wow, I'm paying them like $18 a month. I should look at that.
Well, do I have the solution for you? It's called spaceship money. Watch your income explode into space. The vast nothingness of space. You pay us a monthly subscription, and we tell you what you're paying us for in terms of monthly subscriptions, which in turn lets you know how much you're paying us for your monthly prescription. All your monthly subscriptions will then be subscribed automatically to those monthly subscriptions, and we will know that your subscriptions that you have are subscribed to subscriptions. All that we need is your sensitive bank account information, and then we will know everything that you are paying for. As well as you will be paying us for the things that we now know what you're paying for.
So I pay Spaceship Money a subscription, and then they in turn manage all... No, wait.
No, manage is a strong word.
Their platform also subscribes to my other subscriptions?
No. Let me just repeat what I said before. You pay us a monthly subscription, and we tell you what you're paying us for in terms of this monthly subscription, which in turn lets you know how much you're paying us for monthly subscriptions. All your monthly subscriptions otherwise will be subscribed automatically, continually, to those monthly subscriptions, and we will know that those subscriptions are still subscribed to those subscriptions.
I
don't know what's confusing about that.
I think I got... Okay, I got...
So,
I got a diagram here.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I'm putting money into the spaceship money bucket.
Yes,
to do what?
Watch your income explode into the vast nothingness of space.
Oh, okay. So you're not promising that my money's gonna make it to the moon. You're promising that you're just going to launch my money out into the interstellar void where it will be lost forever.
Well, that could happen. That will likely happen. All money ends up going to Amazon. But for now, your monthly subscriptions are already going into the vast nothingness of the ether anyway. Why not give your money to the spaceship money? That way you know where your monthly subscription is going.
I suppose I'd prefer to know, right?
Yeah.
I suppose I'd prefer to know that I'm paying one company.
One company to understand and have access to your bank account information permanently, undeletable, and then they just get to know what you're paying for.
It is like that one kid on Schoolhouse Rock says, knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And if you give Spaceship Money access to your bank account information and give them money to have it, they will have knowledge over you and your money.
Can I give them like a credit card, or does it got to be the bank account?
It definitely has to be a direct bank account, routing and account number, and last four Social Security.
Hmm.
And also first five Social Security. This is only available in the U.S.
Is there an underwriting process?
That's a lot. Now that's a lot. I don't know why Spaceship Money would do that.
Okay,
we don't ask too much of our consumers. Just both of their bank account numbers and their full social security in two separate documents.
Does Spaceship Money have a lot of customers?
Spaceship Money has every customer.
Every customer?
Every customer is a customer to Spaceship Money.
Oh, so I'm the only one who's not subscribed already?
Yeah, this is just for you.
God, I'm missing out. Wow, okay, wow. So I'm really behind the curve on this.
Yeah, dial 1-800-SPS-SHIP.
They have an 800 number?
Yeah.
Has this been around since like the 90s?
Yeah, this has been... I told you, they have every customer.
Man, how did I miss this?
to make sure that you pay them your monthly subscription and also you give them access to your bank account so that they know what you're spending money on.
Wow, gee willikers, I'm going to go out and sign up for this financial product immediately.
Watch your income explode into the vast nothingness of space.
It's a good tagline. It's evocative. It's really, really...
And if you hear about any other spaceship vehicular money services, don't subscribe to those.
Nope.
They're fraudulent.
Got it. Okay, so Rocket Money is out. Spaceship
Money.
Oh, my
God, yes. Top of the list of out. Spaceship Money is the real one.
Got it. Okay. They have a better name, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the ad.
I was trying to end it with the vast nothingness of space.
We could just cut that out when you said the line again.
Welcome back to Storm Buds. What did we say? Oh, yeah, I was getting my gallbladder enhanced. It has now been enhanced, and it is powered with 4 AAA batteries. And it vibrates.
And it's titanium?
It is. It's just aluminum, but it also comes with a microwave timer. Just like an egg timer,
I guess. Happens when the batteries die?
Well, I have to replace them.
Are they outside your body or inside?
My body is not yours. You're not allowed to have that knowledge. That's private information.
I'm just worried about the bit where the batteries die and then they start leaking acid everywhere.
I don't know. I'm worried about your unupgraded gallbladder. You know, worry about yourself.
Fucking fine. I'm getting my pancreas done next week. I'll do the gallbladder next.
Okay, great. Good. God, catch up. We are going to talk about September, and September is a very, very exciting month for us. I think the theme will be a lot more concrete this time around.
Yeah, uh-huh. This is pretty easy.
Pretty straightforward. Oh, what's that I hear? Is that the crinkling of the leaf on the ground? Oh, man. Autumn's coming up.
Is that the crisp smell of autumn in the air? I don't know what that smell is. But it's good.
It's good. Is Spirit Halloween opening up? Sort of. It's getting there.
In the Family Dollar on Montrose? Yeah, it seems like it.
It's getting there. It's getting there, but not quite. What's that? What's that section at Target? Oh, no. It's all the Lisa Frank books and the binders and the school supplies and the dorm room aesthetic. Oh, man. It's back to school month.
Man, I was always excited for back to school as a kid. Are you kidding me?
I was not.
Fucking that first day you walk in school and it's like a whole new year and you got your textbooks,
so
you got your supplies. Favorite day of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely all downhill from there. We are going to play games that take place in school. Fair warning to us in the future, though, a lot of these games are really long.
No, so that's the thing, right? I think we got to pick like one long one for the month.
Oh, for sure.
And then like a few short ones that we can play to completion or otherwise get a good opinion on. And maybe a second long one with the acknowledgement that we'll play like 6 hours of it.
Yeah, we're not going to finish all of these big ones. But let's get through our pool for games that are back in school. First up is the Persona series. I mentioned
obviously.
Persona 3 remake or Reloaded, whatever the heck, at the top of the year. I'd still like to play that. That's extremely long. Extremely long. We have 5 weeks. I don't even know if we'd finish it.
No, but we would dip into that. That would have to be like a just get the flavor of it thing.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VIII.
Which I guess I don't think of as being a school game, but I guess it is.
Oh, have you played this?
I watched a friend play a good chunk of it when I was like 13. I had not played Final Fantasy VIII myself.
Definitely. I mean, we would. I think that would be a really good candidate. I think there'd be a lot of overlap with our audience. The Danganronpa series, one of those, I guess. I don't know which one takes place in a school. I don't know anything about it.
I think all of them.
Another long one.
I don't know that I have positive enough feelings about the Danganronpa series. We'll see. We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it. Bully?
I have always been interested in Bully.
I have also always been interested in Bully.
People talk highly about this game, but not very many of them do. So,
yeah. that old controversial game. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
I guess are a school-based game.
That's a definitely school-based game. Dibs on Violet if we do that.
I mean, I have not played a Pokemon game since Sun and Moon, so I've missed a couple.
Yeah, I skipped Sword and Shield as well. I'm kind of a Dexit. I'm a Dexit. I left when they split the Dex up. I was like, well, my boy. But my boy's back in the Scarlet Violet DLC. My son, my Victory Vale son is back. So that's possible. This game you put on, Detention. I don't know anything about this one.
Oh, yes, Detention. Detention is a horror game. Actually, sorry. I want to make sure I get this right. Give me one sec here. There's two games by this studio with similar names, and I want to make sure I'm talking about the right one. Right, okay. So Detention is not Devotion. Okay.
Okay.
Detention is a horror game set in Taiwan in the 60s during the White Terror period, kind of a very fraught period of Taiwanese history.
Oh, wow.
It's about two teenagers trapped in a high school, and it's a horror game.
Oh. And,
this is the game by Red Candle Games, who went on to make Devotion, which got delisted from Steam and all their marketplaces because people found Easter eggs making fun of Xi Jinping. And then they went on to make Nine Souls, which just came out and I've been playing. It's actually good.
Yeah, I heard that was really good.
Yeah, but yeah, so I've wanted to play Detention for a long time. Just like people say it's a really good horror game.
Oh,
it's super atmospheric, very well written, like interesting thing that I would like to check out.
Okay, great. Next on our list is Corpse Party. What was this? Was yours as well?
This is mine as well?
I think so.
I thought this was yours.
Was it? Corpse Party is a survival horror and adventure and doujin soft video game originally developed by created by Makoto Kadoin, developed by Team Gris. First game in the series is whatever. RPG.
Okay. Market. Yeah, this game is, I think, some kind of classic I know people are big fans of that also probably came up when I was looking for games that are set in a school. I'd be also interested to check this out, but only if you were also enthusiastic about it. It's like a...
Yeah, we'll keep it in mind.
It's another horror game. I think it's also like kind of a big visual novel type thing.
Two Point Campus. Again, this has to be you. That's I have no idea
yes.
what this is.
Two Point Campus, I would like... Two Point Campus, I'm a strong favorite for this time, just for a change of pace.
Okay.
Two Point Campus is a spiritual successor to the Bullfrog game Theme Hospital from the 90s. So it's a totally different studio, totally different talent, but they made Two Point Hospital, which was kind of a revival of that. And then Two Point Campus is their attempt to make Theme Hospital, but for running universities.
So it's like a sim game?
Yeah, it's like a management game.
Oh.
Like you have a campus, you like build dorms and like set up amenities, hire professors, stuff like that.
Okay, interesting. And then we've got this latecomer entry here, Nancy Drew Warnings at Waverly Academy.
Honestly, I am down to do another Nancy Drew game.
You know, I had to put this in here. I think this could be a recurring thing. If we could like force Nancy Drew games into every month, that would be really fun. Because we were gonna keep talking about Final Fantasy 14, and then that didn't pan out. This month we were gonna do Eureka. We were finally gonna put a pin in the Isle of Valwatch. But then we both decided to stop playing that game.
Yeah, I'm good.
So we're gonna play Nancy Drew games instead.
Honestly, look, there's a good amount of mileage we can get out of this. Yeah. I don't know about every month, but like any month where we need to fill a slot, I think Nancy Drew is going to be a go-to.
There's a lot of things. Fire Emblem Three Houses.
I would consider this for our game of the month.
Okay.
If you were interested in it.
Perhaps.
I have not played it, or like I've played like the first 2 hours. I've not played it through.
We can talk more about that in a minute. Grand Academy for Future Villains. Was this you or me?
I think that one's you. I don't know what the...
Okay, maybe I just Googled it. Grand Academy for Future Villains is a hilarious 200,000-word interactive novel by Catherine Nehring where your choices matter, I'm guessing is what it's going to say. Okay, so it's a visual novel that's $6.
I don't know if this is a visual novel. This might just be a novel. This looks like it's made in Inform.
It says choice of games.
This is like an interactive fiction.
It has a 3-star rating on Steam and a 4 on Google. Okay, maybe not. Monster Prom. Monster Prom is a video game, is a dating sim. Right? Isn't it? Play your strengths or better rewards discovered in online games that boost your chances at your favorite friend's fondest and fight the good fight. So that could be
interesting to talk about. I think that was more in vogue when it came out, though. It's a little bit dated. Oh, 2018. It's not that old, but it's kind of old. So
I'll say this.
It's a shorter game.
When it came out, I remember people having some polarizing reactions to it in a way that I suspect that you and I would have to dig
yeah.
into.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you give me something to dig into.
Yeah, maybe. Right. And this game, Black Closet. Did I put this?
No, I put that on right okay. now because I remember I've had Black Closet in my Steam library for like a decade.
Okay, if I just Google Black Closet, that's not helpful. Game. That's just... What, this guy doing the fucking pose? The glasses with the... What is this?
I believe it's a lady. Also, this is another management game, but it's like... I want to say you're like managing like...
Pursue friendship or romance in elite all-girls school from itch.io. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like a visual novel slash management game about being the head of like the student council or whatever at like a girls' prep school.
Okay. Well, we got 5 weeks to fill, and those are our candidates. If we missed a game, let us know, and you can write us in. And we're gonna fill out 4 of these weeks, and then one will be the
what's up for vote. Yeah,
yeah, what's up for vote. We're gonna figure out the long play because we need to get started at it. Well, let's see what the longest games are: the Persona series,
mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VIII, super yep. long,
Pokemon probably, and Fire Emblem.
Of those, I'm probably least excited about Pokemon and Fire Emblem.
That's okay. Okay.
Just because I don't want to bust the Switch out, to be perfectly frank with you. Like, I am kind of done playing on that system. I know that Scarlet and Violet just has terrible performance issues as well, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could handle a month of that. Fire Emblem Three Houses, I heard, is really good. Strategy RPGs, tactical RPGs aren't my thing as much, so I'm less excited about it. But there was a time when I liked them more. I've tried playing Fire Emblem Awakening and like twice or three times and just keep bouncing off it because I don't care about the combat as much. So I'm not a Fire Emblem lover. Sorry. There's just also too many characters, and I know that you're supposed to let some die to like,
but you don't want to.
No, I don't care enough. Like, I let them all die, or I'm like, what? None of these there's all these just like vignettes. Maybe Three Houses is different because of the way, I don't know.
I mean, people really like the cast in Three Houses. Like, people are very attached to their favorite boys and girls.
Okay, well, that I'm still less excited about it. If I were to pick a Persona game, I would pick Persona 3 because it's the most recent one that got re-released, and it's the one I haven't played yet.
I mean, I would do Persona 3 with the caveat that even as our monthly game, we still might not beat it. Because, like, that game
is... I think
is...
I'll beat it.
Okay, I might not beat Persona 3. But I would like to play it.
And Final Fantasy VIII, this is a podcast that started playing Final Fantasy game. It would be probably appropriate to do one of those once in a while.
Has that one been remastered recently?
Like... Yeah, it's been remastered. It's on Steam.
Okay.
And so it has all the quality of life stuff on it.
Well,
I think,
particularly, it has, like, the fast-forward thing, yeah. I think, is the...
Mm-hmm. So maybe that's not even that long of a... Maybe that's another one we could just like dip into because it's not... I mean, I don't know. And then I'm also not very... Actually, I'm probably more enthusiastic about Fire Emblem than I am about Danganronpa.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in Danganronpa.
Okay, let's not do that one.
If we're going to do a big, long visual novel, at some point we should do the 999 or one of like one of the Zero Escape games.
Or the upcoming Ace Attorney games.
Or those, yeah.
There's the Ace Attorney Investigations 1 and 2 coming out. Soon, this like next month something, right?
I guess it is coming out soon.
So what that leaves us with for our weekly games, we got Bully, Detention, Corpse Party, 2 Point Campus, Nancy Drew, Monster Prom, and Black Closet. So that's 7, did I count?
I'd like to have 2 Point Campus on there because I think it'll be a good
I think that'd be fun. Yeah,
yeah, it's like it's not a narrative, it's not linear. You dip in for a few hours, you build some college school stuff like that.
I'm going to put the poll at 9:22. 9:15, I'm just going to put Nancy Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Warnings at Waverly Academy. I did, by the way, go back and finish the Silent Spy because I realized that as soon as I was done with Secret of Evermore, I didn't have like another game to play for the podcast. I was like, oh, I may as well finish this one. Wow.
You did not have a good time.
Wow.
You were messaging me all the way through.
Master difficulty. Never again. Never again. That final formula puzzle, holy shit, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
They were so bad.
I'm sure it was totally fine on the normal difficulty, but Master, they have to... Oh, man.
I don't know about that. We'll try a Waverly Place or Waverly Academy at normal
I mean, I difficulty. Certainly am. Maybe you could do the Master this time. Maybe it's your turn to suffer. My God. So I think we were both excited about Bully as well. So maybe for 9-8, we'll do Bully. And then for 9-1, we'll talk about Two Point Campus. And our big game is still a decision. We have a poll for the other games, I suppose, that maybe we can talk about. Maybe we'll be surprised because, like, I mean, I'll be a lot more interested in these games I said I wasn't interested in if you guys are interested in them in the Discord. So we'll put the rest of them in and then see if you're like, and then we can talk about them for a little bit as well. You know, interacting with people about something or hearing other people say that they really like something makes me want to play it more. So I am interested in that. We'll talk about the poll in a hot minute. But for our final, our big long play of the month game, we're between a Persona game, Final Fantasy VIII. I think it's just between those two. Do we want to play Persona or Final Fantasy?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
That's a hard choice.
It's a really hard choice. I don't know how to pick that.
I mean... Let's see. They're both equally ridiculous. Like,
maybe, or is this the poll?
Maybe that is. But I want to get started on it soon.
Sure,
is the
right,
problem.
That's true. We do need to get on top of this one.
And if we can include the other game in the poll, whichever one we don't choose.
That's true.
Let's see. Do we want to just leave it to pure chance, or do we want to actually think about it?
I'm trying to think, like. The thing is that I'm pretty sure that I'll find the mechanics of Persona more interesting,
okay.
But I'm pretty sure that I'll find the story of Final Fantasy VIII more interesting,
yeah.
And I don't know which way to kind of, like, fall on that. Am I not looking forward to, like, all the Final Fantasy VIII combat, or am I not looking, but is that enough to, like, be outweighed by the fact that I know the Final Fantasy VIII story is bonkers?
Man. I don't know. I think I have the same... thing, and if we don't play the other game, it's going to die. It's gonna get taken off Steam. The stakes are so high.
Well, okay, here's a possible point in favor of Final Fantasy VIII. I believe there is, because, like, people were very upset about the Persona 3 remake removing the female protagonist.
Oh.
There is a fan project, I think, that is working to, like, do, like, a big mod for the game that would add the female protagonist back in and, like, also, like, add a bunch of other systems and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That might be cool to check out at a later date.
Okay. Meanwhile, Final Fantasy VIII isn't getting any better. That one's kind of set in stone. And we can talk about it without addressing the sort of whether or not... Yeah, I guess that's fine. I wouldn't mind doing that. That was kind of the original plan for us to begin with. And then we're like, well, why don't we open it up to us? Plus, I think we're more likely to actually finish Final Fantasy VIII, truth be told, with its conveniences.
Yes.
And be able to play everything else that we want to. So we are going to... Okay. Our long play for the month of September, back to school month, is, of course, Final Fantasy VIII.
Of course.
That's going to be really exciting. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with the subject matter, or at least the franchise. And then if you haven't played VIII and you want to play along with us, you sure can do that. I have no idea how we're going to break this into five chunks. We're going to have to talk about where our stopping points are, but
yeah,
we'll figure it out as we go,
there.
I guess. Who cares? You know, I don't think, I don't know. It shouldn't be too bad. So that's our month. The first, we're going to talk about Two Point Campus. Then the 8th is Bully. 5th is Nancy Drew, Warnings at Waverly Academy. The 22nd is going to be a poll in the Discord, and it's going to contain the rest of the games that we have on here. And you guys can decide which one maybe you want to talk about, if you have, or make arguments for. It doesn't necessarily have to be majority wins or something like that, but no, it's got to be that way, right? It's kind of got to be that way. I guess so. That'll be like Pokemon Scarlet Violet, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Danganronpa, Persona 3. Let's just say 3. We kind of struck Monster Prom.
I was going to say Detention
and Grand Academy.
I was going to say, do we want to put Detention or Black Closet on here?
man. Yeah, I really wanted to play one of those too. Fuck.
But like Detention is okay. Detention's gonna come back around. Like I'm pretty interested in that game, and okay. It fits into different genres, right? It's also a horror game. It's okay. Also like
okay. Well, we'll put it in the poll. If you're
I put it in the poll for sure.
So those will be, and then whatever, anything else I missed that we didn't strike. Oh, Black Closet, right. I don't know about that. I don't remember. Black Closet game, what was this again?
That's
oh,
like
yeah,
the Girls Academy management the Girls Academy. Okay. Game.
Okay, that's sort of set. The poll, the results from the poll will be read by the time, I think the first, so we'll know what game we'll be playing on the 22nd. By the time the episode on the first goes out, so we'll set it to then, and then okay, how am I going to do this? Because we won't be able to say what it is because we'll be recording. So I guess the poll, whatever, the poll's going to be in the Discord to know when the poll ends. Okay, the poll's going to end at like next Thursday or something. I don't freaking know. You have a few days to vote on it, and then we'll announce it on the first who won.
By the 9/8 episode, we'll know.
Yeah, certainly by the 9/8 episode. It's all gravy, baby. It's fine. Everything's fine. Nothing matters. There's not strict deadlines like in school. That's going to do it for our talk about our wonderful relaxing month. I hope you feel refreshed and ready to sleep. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode and this cover and our coverage, month-long coverage of Secret of Evermore. I hope you enjoyed the journey into Evermore as much as I do every single time I go back into it. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I have been your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by my... Oh, fuck. I didn't say our names at the start of the episode.
Oh. Oh, well.
I guess I'll have to enter that in at some
point.
If
this is your first episode.
Whoops. And I've been joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the buds.
Good evening.
Sleep tight. I like that awkward silence. It's like not going to be a recurring thing where we just kind of sit there at the end of an ad thinking about what we've done. Oh, okay, great.